Let us now turn to read God's Word, and the reading is from the New Testament and from the Gospel of John. John's Gospel and chapter 6, breaking in to read at verse 22. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and at verse 22. We've come through the feeding of the 5,000 and the experience of the disciples on the sea. We now come to verse 22 of John chapter 6. The day following, when the people who stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias near to the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will who sent me, that of all whom he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son, who seeketh the Son, and believeth in him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father who hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath heard, learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he who is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of heaven. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship this time, coming to sing from Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and we're singing from verse 8. O taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God as saints, none that in fear shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food, but they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. O children, hither do ye come, and unto me give ear. I shall you teach to understand how ye the Lord should fear. What man is he that life desires, to see good would live long? Thy lips refrain from speaking guile, and from ill words thy tongue. Depart from ill, do good, seek peace, pursue it earnestly. God's eyes are on the just, his ears are open to the cry. Psalm 34 from verse 8 through to verse 15. O taste and see that God is good. I want us this morning to turn to the passage we read there from John's Gospel and chapter 6. And I want to take out one simple thought from it. The way in which the Lord describes himself in several different verses here as I am the bread of life. We sang there just in our psalm, in Psalm 34, the invitation that the psalmist gives. And it was part of our meditation last Sunday morning of Psalm 34. Taste and see that God is good. The psalmist has been sharing with us the testimony that he has had of God's goodness to him. The way in which God has blessed him in a marvelous way. And he's not content just to tell us about it. He's not content just to share it with ourselves. He says, come on, try it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Taste and see that God is good. Jesus Christ, he is the bread of life. And by taking that description about himself, he's telling us that he is essential for our life. He is vital for our daily living. You cannot get through life today without bread at some point through the day. Toast in the morning, sandwiches at lunchtime and such like. That is the focus of our Lord, telling us that he's vital for life as bread is for our physical existence. We try to get through life depending upon our own resources and doing our own thing, trying this, that, and the other. That's the way society is today, to try to find something that is meaningful and real to fill our life, to give us satisfaction. We try so many different things. We were looking at all the experiments that the book of Ecclesiastes tried. That preacher in the Old Testament book, he went here and he went there and he says, I've got wisdom and I'm going to try this. And I'm going to try that. And he comes back with the conclusion time and again, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Today, Today, the thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ is often mixed and muddled. People have their own ideas about who or what Jesus Christ has come to do. It's the same kind of thinking that applied in the days of the New Testament, because Jesus asked the disciples one time, "Who do people say that I am?" And he got a whole variety of answers back. Well, some say that you're Isaiah, or some say that you're one of the prophets, or some say that you're even John the Baptist. People had their own ideas then. People have their own ideas now. And Jesus turned the question back on themselves, and he put them on the spot. As he puts us on the spot, he says, "Yes, it's not who do other people say I am. The important thing now is, who do you say I am? What do you think of Jesus Christ?" We need to listen to what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Peter said, "Thou art the Jesus, thou art the Christ. Thou art the one who doth have everlasting life. To whom else can we go but unto thee?" We need to let the Bible tell us who Jesus Christ is. To have our minds molded and fed upon what the Bible gives to us. And then, having tasted him for ourselves, to go out and share that experience with others. We are living today, round about us in our society, people are struggling to find a meaning for life. They're looking for contentment. People are looking for satisfaction. People are looking for something that's going to fill their lives and give them peace. That good well-being, that quiet tranquility, without a ripple on the pond of their life, that quietness that is lacking just now is what people, so many, are looking for now. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us, addressing that very need. He comes and he talks with us and he speaks with us in so many different ways. Remember what he says in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55. And he says to people today, "Why are you spending your money on that which is of no significance or lasting value? Why are you spending your money on that which is of no profit and is going to fall and fail so quickly?" The waste to spend so much energy, what does not satisfy, nor will it give you peace. That's what's happening in society today. People are chasing after smoke. They're trying to catch something, and they never will, until we listen to what Jesus Christ is saying to us. "I am the bread of life." What you need is what he gives, what he has, what we need. So therefore, this morning, let us take stock. Let's be quiet and still. Let's ask ourselves, how much have we got that is going to last? What have we got that is permanent? What have we got that satisfies us? What have we got that will carry us, not just simply through life, but what have we got that is going to carry us through the last experience of death itself? What are we leaning on? What are we trusting in when we think of meeting God? These are the important questions that we've got to ask ourselves, and that society round about us has got to start asking themselves as well. And whatever that question is asked, Jesus Christ is the one simple answer to it. Because He is the bread of life. He is utterly indispensable for a true, satisfying living and existence now. He is the one who gives peace when death comes close by us. And He's the one on whom we can trust and lean when we go thereafter to meet our God. He stands before us today in society now, and He says, what do you need? And there's a whole barrage of answers to that question from society round about us. And He says, what do you need? We need Him, the one who alone can give us these needs answered in our soul. So therefore, let's come to this passage then. Let's try to take out of it several thoughts that would be of benefit for ourselves and our people today. And the first thing that Jesus does is he meets the expectation of the people. There was an expectation on these people as they gathered with Jesus. The previous day, He had fed 5,000 of them. And the people had been fed, and they came looking for more. They came not because of full hearts. They came because of full bellies. There was a great expectation that they could get more of that same from Jesus. And so the first thing we read about the expectation that people had is that the Lord condemns them. Simply, the Lord condemns them. In verse 27, He says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. There is so much attention given to what will not last in our society today. The Lord stands beside all of the trinkets. He stands beside all of the offerings, all of the entertainment, all of the possessions, all of the experiences that are on offer day after day to your life and mine. And Jesus stands beside them all. And He gives us His opinion about them. And He says, this won't last. Do not work and put out so much energy for what's going to falter and fail along the way. He gives us the true assessment in verse 27. There's a table spread before you and I day after day with all of the riches piled upon it to satisfy almost every taste, every appetite, every need of man, from the highest down to the lowest perversity. That's what's on offer in society today. And so many people chase after it so much. And He tells us, no. That's no lasting fare food for your soul. High hopes, but they are never realized or reached. People today are looking for contentment. Looking for contentment from what they get. Looking for contentment from where they are and who they are. Looking for contentment from the experiences that life offers for them. But they do not reach into your soul. They do not reach into your heart. They do not reach into your conscience. Our earthly provisions, bodily possessions, worldly pleasures. Whatever we look at spread on the table before us in life and in society, the Lord says, standing beside us, and he says, it'll perish. It'll perish. Remember what our Lord himself tells us. Man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word which comes from the mouth of God. Jesus Christ is that word of God. Jesus Christ is that bread of life. He's the one that meets our needs. And today people are so taken up with other things, but they have got great expectations, but they will never be met. So the Lord condemns that effort in the wrong direction. But if that's what the Lord does in the expectation of the people, not only does the Lord condemn them, but the Lord also commends something else. He says, labor not for the meat that perishes, but instead for that meat which endures to everlasting life. He tells them and he tells us, you've got an expectation. You want something here in your soul, here in your heart. Very well. I'll tell you how to find it. I'll tell you where it is. Labor for that meat which endures. Find that food that satisfies your soul. Let all of your energy, your enthusiasm, all of your time be redirected in this way. Not for the short-term things, but for the long-term things. The things that are important, urgent, and far-reaching. Look at life not just 70 years, the quaint way of putting it. Look at life not just simply at the run of your years, but look at your life in the scale of eternity. Look at your soul to give an account before God. Think of where you're going to spend that eternity. Let these thoughts come into your mind and mold the way you think and what you chase after. And when you do that, the Lord says there is meat. There is something that will meet all of these needs in your life. And what is it? We come back to again the simple text we have at the beginning. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He is the one able to meet every spiritual need in the heart and the soul of you and me this morning. Through the year, there are so many different times when there's a great emphasis put upon chasing after the things of this world. At sales times in the shops, at holiday times in the summer, at Christmas time, at Easter time. There's a great push. If you have this, your life will be full. But on Sunday, today, the Lord is telling us simply this. I am the bread of life. When we trust him as our Savior and our Lord, when we have our sins transferred to his account, and when his righteousness clothes us round about, and when we know the blood of Jesus Christ covering us, these are the provisions that he gives and bestows upon his people. When we have him in that way, then yes, life is different, full, at peace, and satisfying. So that's the first thing that we have here, the expectation of the people and the way the Lord condemned it and the way the Lord commended another way instead. But the second thing that we have here is not only the expectation of the people, but we have here the emphasis on a person. Notice what it says in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath the Father sealed. What does that mean? It means that the Lord God is emphasizing and highlighting. He is setting out before us to draw our attention to one person only. He's put a seal upon this person. He's put his mark upon this person. And he says, there is no other name given underneath heaven whereby you can be saved. Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth. The emphasis time and again comes back to one person only. The one who is the Messiah, the bread of life. All that the Lord Jesus Christ says, and all that he promises, he will do it. He is the one who has been appointed. That's what the word Messiah means. Set aside and appointed. He's the one whom God has sent into this world. For this very purpose of providing the spiritual food for our souls. Today, scientists tell us what our diet should be like. People tell us how we should eat and what we should eat. People tell us that we've got the same appetites as the rest of creation round about us. But that's the wrong way of looking at ourselves. There is a spiritual appetite in us that only one person can meet. We're wandering a dry wilderness. We're kidding ourselves if we think all is well with us. Sin has excluded us from the presence of God the Father. Sin has spoiled and marred your character and mine. We have been made by God, but at the moment we're excluded from his company and therefore we are restless. Our life is not fulfilling and satisfying. And the only way in which we can return to God is through this one person whom the Lord God has given, the one person who is able to deal with our problem, the one person who is able to open the way. When he died on the cross, we are told that the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. Jesus Christ opening a new and living way for us to return to our God. The emphasis on a person. Even upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot get through life without him. He is so important and so vital to us. Think of it like this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great high priest of his people. Hebrews 4 tells us that. We have a high priest. We can go to him and he prays for his people. The emphasis upon him. He prays for every one of his own. Every day. Every day we need that place in his prayers. Every day we trip and we stumble with temptations and sins coming into our lives. And we do things that are wrong. And we need to be forgiven. John chapter 13 speaks about the day's dust around the feet of the disciples and the way the Lord was going to wash that dust away. That's what we gather day after day. We need to be washed from that sin of a day's journey. to be refreshed in our soul. Who's going to do that for you? Who's going to do it for me? Only one person can. The one whom the Lord God has appointed and set forth. The one whom He has sealed. Even the Lord Jesus Christ. What about appearing before God? What about drawing near to God? We remind ourselves that God is a holy God. He is an almighty God. He is a God of absolute standards, and there is no compromise. Neither can anything stand before Him that is inconsistent with Him. How then? How then are we going to survive if we draw near to God? How then are we going to survive that flame and that fire that is God possessing everything, consuming everything that is inconsistent with His character? How can we, dare we, come before God? The only way we can come is by having the righteousness of Jesus Christ covering us, clothing us, protecting us. Take it right down to living this coming week. We're looking for something to give each day meaning and significance. We come to each day and we look for something that'll make it worthwhile to get out of bed in the morning. We're looking for something that'll make it joyful, memorable to us. What will meet these demands? Remember what Jesus said? I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. There is no measures used when the Lord gives the gift of life to His people. That pardon, that forgiveness, these spiritual experiences, they're not measured out and grudgingly given. They're given freely and liberally and in full measure to every one of His people. The emphasis on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something else we've got to think of in these verses. Not only is there the expectation of the people, not only is there the emphasis upon the person, the third thing I want us to think about is the effectiveness of His ministry. Come down to verse 33. For the bread of God is He who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This message that we have in the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the bread of life, is a message that the whole world needs to hear. Because every man, woman and child, we are sinners before a holy God. And we need that gift of peace which He obtained and achieved on the cross when He died there for the sins of His people. He offered His life as a sacrifice for the sins of His own. And the only way we can be forgiven, and the only way we can have peace and pardon, is if we see our interests bound up in the death of Jesus Christ. We hear the gospel preached in sermons like this time and time again. We stand back and we listen to the words that are used and the descriptions that are given. We listen and we see the picture that is painted about the death and the suffering of Jesus. But are you interested and are you involved in that picture, in that image, with that message? It's all very well to be a bystander looking at the gospel message pictured in a sermon. But the question is, have you got an interest and have you committed yourself to that Saviour? And do you know him as the bread of life? Yes, he is effective. He is effective and his message is powerful and is needed by all in the world. Those who hunger and thirst and have a spiritual longing. Those who are convicted because of their sin and burdened in their conscience. Yes, this message is for such a person. Because Jesus comes right down beside his own. And he comes down to minister and to speak to their needs, to yours and to mine. He comes right down beside us to speak to us in our needs. Jesus Christ, the one who is the Saviour that men and women need to hear and need to follow. But not only is it given that breadth, yes, he is the bread from heaven given unto the world, but it comes down in a very narrow focus as well. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Sometimes we can be lost in a crowd. Sometimes going down the street and the high street in towns or cities, we are lost amongst so many others. But that's not what happens with this gospel. It is effective. Yes, it's a message that everybody in the high street needs to hear. But also, it's a message that is focused upon individuals, you and me here this morning, as we listen to this message. To you. To you, whatever you are, whatever your circumstances have been. To you that might be alone and lonely. The Lord says, to him that comes like that, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus says that everyone that the Father has given unto me will come to me. This is the Father's will, that of all whom he hath given me, I should lose nothing. What an amazing promise and comfort that is. Sometimes in exams, some people are content with just 51%. It's a pass. Other people aim higher. Well, if I get 75 or 80%, doing good. If you get into the 90s, excellent. But none of these standards satisfies the Lord. The only standard the Lord is satisfied with is 100% performance. Every single one that was given to him by the Father, every single one comes to him. It might be an old person, a lonely person, somebody who's been through all of the problems of life and you're battle scarred through all the temptations through life. You're weary and coming to the end of your days. You're weary because of the things you've had to cope with and to overcome. But you feel that weight upon your soul. And the Lord's word comes to you. And he singles you out and he speaks to you this morning and says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the emphasis. That's the assurance. Yes, this is what the Lord is saying. You will not be cast out by me when you seek me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your life. The Lord Jesus Christ presented before us here this morning, speaking to every one of us alone and apart as we are. And he speaks and he says, I am the bread of life necessary for everyone in the world because we're all sinners. But the bread of life that comes down to just you and me alone and apart, as God speaks to us now, and speaks about our soul and salvation. So what do we say for the last thing this morning? Yes, the expectation of the people. Yes, the emphasis on the person. Yes, the effectiveness of the message. One last thought. What are the essential requirements set before us here? The saving grace, the abundant mercy, the everlasting love the Lord Jesus Christ bears and shows. How can we close in with him? What is it that we're told in this passage? Read again, verse 35. I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never hunger. The stress is on moving. Leaving behind your old ways and your old lifestyle. Leaving behind repenting of all these former things. The empty routines. The arid days. The energy spent on achieving nothing or getting nowhere. Leave all these things behind that were offensive to God and come and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. And also what he says here is, believe on me and you shall never thirst. Make that commitment of your soul to the one who alone can save you from your sin. No backward glances. You're not looking over your shoulder anymore. There is that great transaction done, where all of the guilt of all of your sin has been taken out of your hands and away from your record and has been laid upon Jesus Christ. And there he is. He's died for the sins of his people. And he speaks to you and he says, believe in me, trust in me, that he will be our Savior, that he will be our Lord and our God. And he will bestow the gift of everlasting life. And he will continue to refresh his people. And he will take us home to be with him in glory. What is essentially required of us all? That we should come and that we should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. People sometimes think that, well, if you're going to become a Christian, you've got to give up so much and your life is going to be so much the poorer. And to that we say no. The gift of life which Jesus Christ gives makes our life richer, deeper and fuller than anything that this world offers to us. There is never a disappointment, and we are never let down. So therefore, as we close this morning, I want to simply to use something this passage gives us to focus on the things that are important, but also to challenge us on where we are. One last thing I want to draw your attention to. Four times in the passage we read, the Lord says, verily, verily. Putting it into modern language, truly, truly. It's the same kind of word that he used when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 4. When that man came at night and he had a whole pile of questions for Jesus, and Jesus stopped him in his tracks. He says, hold on. And instead of answering his questions, Jesus cut right down to the things that are important. And he says, you've got to be born again. He went straight down to the very central issues. That's what the Lord does by using this truly, truly. And that's exactly what he does here. Verse 26. The people came with all their questions. How did you get here? What boat did you take? Who took you across? Verily, verily, I say to you, I'm not going to answer your questions. You come seeking something. You want full bellies because of yesterday. You need full souls instead. He's highlighting the danger of distractions in verse 26. Verse 32. Verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread, but my Father gave it you, the bread. The source of satisfaction and peace that they need, that we need. It's not the bread that's available round about us. It's what God gives. Cut to the wire. Get to the important issue. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. That vital relationship that is necessary to enjoy the privileges and blessings of the gospel. That's the challenge to us. Do we have that relationship with Jesus? And then there's one last thought. Verse 53. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He's laying it out plain and simple for us. If we do not have Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we have no life. We are empty. We continue with that lack, frustration, and ultimately, condemnation at the end. No matter what's on offer, no matter what's available, if we do not have Jesus Christ, we do not have life. He cuts to the wire. He gets down to basic things with these verily, verily. Let's listen not to the things that are bombarding our lives round about us today. The things that are clamoring for our attention and taking our enthusiasm. The Lord is cutting through that time and again, and he says, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I am the bread of life. He that comes and he that believes, he will never hunger and he will never thirst. And so the question is, do we know him as our Lord and our Savior today? Let us pray. O Lord, our God, once again we bless thy name for the wonder of this message in our hand and in our hearing. We bless thee, Lord, for the way in which thou dost speak to us in a note and with a voice that we cannot mistake or be in any doubt over. For thou dost address us on the things of our soul, of salvation and of eternity. May we hold on to what we have heard from thyself. And Lord, grant thy blessing upon us to draw us to faith, to trust, to come and to believe in Jesus Christ thy Son, our Savior. For we ask it in his name. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 91 this morning. Psalm 91, and we're going to sing the last three verses of that psalm from 14 through to 16. Psalm 91 at verse 14. Because on me he set his love, I'll save and set him free. Because my great name he hath known, I will him set on high. He'll call on me, I'll answer him, I will be with him still. In trouble to deliver him and honor him I will. with length of days unto his mind. I will him satisfy. I also my salvation will cause his eyes to see. Psalm 91 from 14 through to the end of the psalm. Because in me he set his love. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit.